Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, the first official trading day of the year, and the battle is on. The pundits are going at it. Who says it's going to go up? Who says it's going to go down? And everybody's giving you the reasons why. And you know what the truth is? Nobody got no idea. It's a bunch of crap. It's a joke. When you listen to these idiots speak, they have no clue as to what they're talking about. They're all looking, and they all have an edge and an angle trying to figure out how to get theirs. At the end of the day, nobody knows what's going to happen here in the beginning. Now, again, this week is going to be probably fairly quiet again. Doesn't mean we can't get movement, but it should be fairly quiet. A lot of people still on vacation. A lot of things still, not in full swing. We probably won't be in full swing till next week. And then, of course, we do have the jobs number this week, which will be interesting with the lack of action that we're going to, that we may have going into it. But at the end of the day, okay, the real action will probably not start until we get into the earnings season and then into the Trump inauguration. And then you might see some fireworks. You could see them either way. Again, there's no way of knowing which way we're going to go. I can tell you that the market is overbought on a long-term basis. It's severely stretched. However, it can stretch farther. There is no reason to suspect that it has to go down. Now, I'm personally bearish. I think we're going lower. I am not a buyer with new money of trading stuff, but I am always a buyer with new money of investing. So the first thing you have to decide is, what are you trying to accomplish? I mean, I hedge my portfolio so I can buy anything. But at the end of the day, there's no really way to tell if we have enough oomph to go higher or if it's going to actually sell off. Now, you've still got, money is still cheap. Even with interest rates going up, it is still cheap in comparison. So we should still see some money flowing into the market. I would still expect to see money from obviously fund money's coming in, a lot of year-end IRA stuff is coming in. So, you will have a bias to the upside. But, of course, we had the same bias last year to the upside, and we had the biggest down opening in history. So there's no way to really predict. But if you play the market probability, okay, and the market probability is very simple. Okay, we've gone up for almost 8 years straight. We are in a position now that the market has gone up over 200%. We've just had a monster rally on Donald Trump. So the math says that we should probably see a little bit of a sell-off. Now, when will that sell-off come? Well, therein lies the true problem. But what we need to look for, what will help you indicate what might bring the sell-off, will be a couple of things. First, obviously, price. I mean, if we're going down, we're going down. But the bigger thing will be is volatility. If we remain at this, historic lows of volatility, we're down in the volatility levels that we were in 04, 05, 06. If we stay down there, then we're probably not going to go down too fast. So the next thing you're going to want to notice is that the first sell-off, I assure you, I would guarantee this, will be met by buyers, which is fine. So if buyers step in, the question will be, can they push it to new highs or will they make a lower high? That's what we'll be looking for our signal that the bear market's going to start to begin. But if you look around, you look at financials, they have performed unbelievably well. And again, they're all on record highs. So how can I say that they can't go higher? You know, records are made to be broken, as they say. So I would not personally be playing the market to the long side. However, individual stocks, I would consider playing the long side. You know, one has nothing to do with the other. And I think we fall into a trap believing that we have to, that all stocks have to do the same as what the market's doing. And that is not necessarily the case. Now, again, obviously, if you're buying and your stock is bullish, it will help if the market is bullish as well. But a good stock will go up no matter what. And a bad stock will probably go down no matter what, which is why what we see, the market breadth has not been great lately. So, you know, the whole thing comes down to major debt that we have. Okay. We have a problem with the central banks. We have a problem with worldwide troubles. So overall, we have not, with all the rallying, we have not solved the job problem. We have not put people back to work. The participation rate remains at 40-year lows. The amount that people are actually making is still less. So I don't know, from a fundamental standpoint and from a business standpoint, what's going to drive markets? What's going to drive the numbers that are going to drive the markets? In other words, what's going to drive earnings? I know that there's the buybacks have stopped. I know that the interest rate hikes, which I think are good for the economy overall, but initially here, it will create a little bit of heartburn for some, especially if they're well in debt from borrowing all that cheap money. And now all of a sudden, you know, it's become more expensive. So the payback of that debt will be more expensive. We are basically due for some sort of a sell-off. Now, one of the things that you always want to keep in mind is in the 90s, okay, we were due for a sell-off too, but it took till 2001 to get that sell-off. And it took till, unfortunately, the worst tragedy in American history to actually push the markets lower. So, you know, I don't know what's going to drive the eventual sell-off. I know that at some point there will be something. I do not believe it will be economically related. In other words, it won't be something that we can figure, but it might be something that we can't figure that has to do with the economy. But it would be something that would come out as a total surprise. And the problem is I don't know what we could see economy-wise that would be a total surprise. But at some point, people are going to take some money off of the table and put some in their pocket. But, of course, not enough will. But that will generate and start the ball rolling. But, again, I cannot tell you when. I can tell you that my expectations for the upcoming week are to see very quiet trade. My expectations are that the jobs number will be a non-event, basically. I don't think that'll drive the market. I think what will happen is we'll kind of, you know, churn around and get some movement. But if it does sell off, we will see some buyers step in. Those who have missed, who can't wait to get in. If we rally, you'll see some people chasing it up. But in the meantime, at this stage, it's too hard to figure out which way we're going to go from here yet. Again, I lean to the downside. I lean to the downside in oil. I lean to the upside in gold. I lean to you know, some other things. But in the meantime, I need to see a valid footprint appear before I'm going to get too aggressive on either side of the other. So while I'm waiting for that footprint, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, when you miss me, and you should always miss me, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of every show, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And I want you to check out Bubba Trading. You know, tomorrow night, we've got our hedging webinar starting. And love to have you aboard. I'll help you protect. But in the meantime, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here, break. We'll be back with Jane King. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And it's, as always, with us, the person who brings so many good things to light, our friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. Jane King, Happy New Year. Welcome aboard.
Happy New Year, Todd. 2017. I'm ready. Ready for this year. I think it's going to be a good one.
Let's hope so. I mean, there's certainly a lot of things going on that that would lead you to believe that we're going to have a good year. I mean, certainly if the president-elect gets to do, you know, even 75% of what he's trying to do, that would make for a good year, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just it feels like a burden has been lifted. Like there was this kind of cloud hanging over the economy over the past eight, even longer, years, and just regulations and roadblocks and taxes and, you know, and all these things that were done that were not really economic, that weren't making it the economy better. I mean, they were all like the transgender bathroom thing and, you know, I mean, just all this stuff. And it was like, I just really hope that we can like focus on the economic fundamentals of the country. And I think that's going to make everybody a lot happier once that gets going.
Yeah, I think people will get back to work. I think I think there's a reason to have hope, which, of course, according to Michelle Obama, there is no hope. But I think there's a lot of reasons for people to be hopeful, and which is a great thing. And so let me just ask you briefly, did you see the interview, and what was your thoughts of Michelle Obama's comments?
Well, I didn't see the whole interview, but I did see, you know, I watch news like almost constantly. So I did see excerpts of it. And I just was, you know, I'm like, come on. I mean, no hope. I mean, let's look at the stock market. I mean, that's probably the best indicator of hope that we've seen since the election. So it's just, you know, one of those things. I mean, she can say whatever she wants to say. I don't know what she's talking about. I don't know where there's no hope. I think a lot of people are very hopeful and they're looking forward to the change. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
I'm certainly hopeful. Again, I do believe in, you know, I'm a hopeful guy anyway. So I think that it'll be a good year. Now, just to look back a little bit, and I'm curious if you had any thought to the John Kerry speech last week and, you know, what he said with Israel and Obama's reactions. Do you have any thoughts to that?
Well, I did watch part of it. I mean, the thing went on forever. I mean, it was like an hour and a half almost. And I mean, just from an initial speech delivery standpoint, I was like, this dude is angry. I mean, he was yelling. I mean, it's like the most animated I've ever seen him. And then, you know, I started thinking about how, you know, and of course, Russia, you know, back in the news now, and Trump and supposedly friends with Putin and whatever is going on there. I don't totally understand it. I hear things. There's fake news out about it. I'd like to just really sit and read a well-written article about it. But I was thinking, people are talking about Trump and Putin, but here's like Obama, who I think has really favored Muslim nations. And some of those are not our friends. And I think that the Israeli thing and the vote at the UN and what John Kerry said about this two-state solution and Israel not a democracy and all that was just another piece of evidence of how hostile I feel like the Obama administration is to Israel and how pro-Muslim they are.
And that, I could not agree with you more, of course. And, you know, one of the things is, and even, well, so what if Trump is friends with Putin? I mean, wouldn't it be better if we all got along and tried to make things work instead of constantly trying to battle against these things? I mean, to me, I don't know, that makes more sense that if we tried to get along with these people, we'd probably have a better thing and probably have to spend a lot less money trying to defend against it. What do you think?
Well, I think that there probably are things that, you know, we could work with on Russia, and ISIS would be at the top of that list. Do I want to live in a country that's run like Russia? No. I'm a journalist. I don't want to write something negative and end up murdered or poisoned. So, I mean, I understand what's going on and over there, but I do think there's ways they can work together better and solve some of the world's problems. So I think, you know, as long as it's strategic and it's planned out and it's smart, I think it will be a good relationship.
Right. I mean, again, listen, we're not going to be, we don't want to move into a communist regime or whatever, but I mean, I understand. And I think that, again, it would be better at least if we were on good speaking terms and kind of working together on some things. It would be a much better solution for the world. You know, when we look at that, but, you know, now that, you know, Trump and, you know, he's a big anti-Common Core education. And of course, you're big into financial literacy for kids. And what is your take on his thoughts of education, and what would you like to see changed, going forward? I mean, you've got two young kids that are in school, so what would be some of the things you'd like to see done from the education system?
Well, it's interesting because I live in New York, so my kids are learning Common Core. So I've learned it, and the math is, it's funky, it's different, but I've learned it, and they seem to be able to do their math. I guess my first thought was just from a micro level was, no, my kids are going to learn probably something new because we're going to be ditching Common Core. But that's okay. We'll adjust. Being flexible is a good skill to have in life. But I do think that I like the idea of competition in schools. I like, some of the changes that, Trump and his proposed education secretary will be making. I like charter schools. I think they do a great job in New York. And I think there has to be some change to this system. We just cannot go on like this. There was a story, and this is a college level, it's a little different, but it's kind of just something about the whole education system. The colleges aren't preparing kids for work. Kids do not know how to work. And I've been saying that since I was in college. I mean, I got out and I was like, what? I don't have 3 weeks off for Christmas? I mean, come on. They don't prepare you for the stamina and the grind that work is. And I think, if they focused more on that, and finding jobs and preparing people for jobs, but also just the mental stamina that you need to really work over a long period of time, I don't think colleges do a very good job of that. So that's one thing. I mean, just the mental capacity of getting through work is hard. And once you've gotten through that, some of the other stuff comes easy. So I think there's a lot of things our education system needs to change. And I hope, I think she'll do a great job, certainly come in with some new innovative ideas, and I hope they work.
No, of course we both do, because again, that's the big thing. I mean, I think personally that, kids should be taught, financial responsibility as well as work responsibility, as well as, keeping a schedule and doing what you're supposed to do from the time they're very young. I mean, I think that should be part of the program. I mean, look, you have a schedule, you work overnights, doing your reports. I mean, that's not an easy schedule to live by, but that's how you make your living. And I think that we do not prepare our children enough to make decisions. We teach them how to live out of a textbook, and we've seen over the last 8 years what trying to live out of a textbook bring you, and it's not a very good sight when you get all said and done with it, and it needs to be corrected. So as you look forward, Jane King, what are some of the things you'd like to see changed overall? What's your views for 2017, and what would you think the markets will do this year?
Well, I'd like to see, and I think this is going to happen in January, fewer regulations. I'd like to see a tax cut. I'd like to see some cash flow. Go to work in this country. Hiring people, investing in equipment. I mean, that's the stuff that makes your economy go. It's not all these, Fed keeping interest rates at zero and all the stuff we've been through over the past few years. So I think that's going to happen. I think it's going to happen early in 2017. For the long term, I'd like to see, I'd like to see some really infrastructural changes in education. I'm curious what a little bit of a longer school day would do. My kids get out at 2:45. I mean, they go to school from 8:30 to 2:45, and they have two play times and a lunch. And I'd like to see, at least another 45 minutes of just, learning going on in the school. So, I mean, I appreciate, what the teachers do. I do think they work hard. They come up with lots of creative ideas. But I think a little more time would be, in the classroom would be beneficial. I'd actually like to see the school year a little bit longer as well. I remember, when I lived in Indiana studying year-round schools, they were starting there. They were showing some real benefits. And, being out of school July and August and in New York, part of September, is not good for the kids. And it hurts the poor kids the most because their parents can't afford to send them to camps and, enrichments and things like that. So those are some long-term things I'd like to see in education.
And you know what? That's why Jane King brings good things to life. And Jane, as always, first of all, Happy New Year, and thank you so much for being here.
Happy New Year.
Our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and always brings good things to light to the Bubba Show. But again, you can hear her concern as well, and you can understand where we're talking about in the markets here. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm is the only thing you need, the place you need to go for your information. And that's where you can download The Bubba Show every day and The Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, I am going to step out of a break and bring back our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And we're going to talk about what's going on and from the technical standpoint. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this Tuesday, the 3rd of January. Happy New Year, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. What's up, my brother?
Happy New Year, Todd. Not a lot. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's always good to be here. It's good to be alive. And, of course, you know, we've got the New Year upon us. And, you know, the last couple weeks of the year, we always figure that it's a little bit strange trading-wise because it's usually fairly quiet, which it was. And, of course, this week, the way the holidays fell, should probably be a little bit quiet as well. But I know that doesn't affect your style of trading. But I do expect, you know, a pretty light trade this week again because we've still got a lot of people on vacation. Any thought to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it could be light, but we might actually have more volatility because of the fact that, there aren't as many participants.
Now we haven't seen for quite a while any real volatility. I mean, we saw a little bit last week in the gold stocks and the miners. We saw some, you know, around in certain spots. But the overall markets themselves, even though we were down, basically, I believe we hit the high on last Tuesday on the opening, and then it was basically, you know, dribbled down from that point forward. And boy, oh my God, we were down a whole 1% for the week. What was your take from all that?
Yeah, I mean, It makes sense to me. I mean, we were just so overextended above, you know, the monthly Bollinger bands that I keep talking about. The Dow is still 300 points above its monthly Bollinger band. So, I mean, just all things being neutral, it should try to come in. And so that last week's action made sense. And I would think we're going to get a, you know, continuation of that.
Were you surprised that, I mean, you know, typically when you can get the market, you know, going down, okay, especially in a light volume environment, you could sometimes see it really take off, but it really didn't take off. Did you take anything away from that?
That it didn't move to the upside on the light volume?
Well, even more to the downside. I mean, certainly with as light as the volume was, it could have taken it down 500 instead of 200. I mean, is there...
Yeah. You know, that's... I think... We'll have to see this week. Well, I mean, I know a lot of people are talking about tax gain selling. You know, people taking their gains this week. You know, on the idea that the Trump administration is going to reduce taxes this year. So we'll see if they were just waiting. But I don't take a lot away from it. I think a move to the downside has begun. A move to the upside in treasuries has begun. So the two go together and make sense to me.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And so as you preview and kind of look into your crystal ball, and of course you've got your help with your crystal ball because you do a lot of work with your charting, and you are a certified market tactician. What's your early outlook? I mean, you know, I can't ask you to tell me it's going to happen next December, but you know, the first quarter, you might have some ideas. What's your look in the first quarter here of 2017?
Well, I don't think that U.S. markets fully completed to the upside. So I'm right now I'd be looking for a pretty steep pullback, probably down to the pre-election levels. So around 18,000 in the Dow, around 2,100 in the S&P. And then I think we're going to get another rally from there. So I think that will probably take place in the first quarter. And then we'll probably get another rally up from there to final highs. I think the final highs have already been put in the Russell 2000 and Euro Stoxx 50 is very close. So stocks, I think, first quarter are going to see more weakness.
Now,
it's not impossible that they grind higher. I mean, it's not impossible. It's just that historically speaking, we've really just never really seen it, you know, continue to grind up higher through its monthly Bollinger Band. Because my projected targets are up another 4 or 5% in the Dow and the S&P. I just can't see another 4 or 5% through that monthly Bollinger Band.
Right, because they're obviously very extended and overbought in this range. I guess the way I would look at it is if we did get that 4 or 5% from where we are now, that would lead to probably a steeper, more crushing sell-off when it actually did finally come. That would be the actual sign of euphoria, and you know, obviously then that would lead to the ultimate crash, I would think. But of course, we'll see how it trades out here. What's your views now, you know, as we look back into the euro currency and the dollar? I mean, they are obviously the euro for some reason. I think it was last Thursday night had a major spike up out of nowhere at about 6 o'clock at night Eastern time or 7 o'clock Eastern time, and all of a sudden the next thing you knew it was just flying higher, and of course subsequently gave off a little bit. But what's your view? You still like the euro currency here?
Yeah, still bullish on the euro. We have major support at 103.5. If that gets broken, I'm just going to, you know, throw in the towel on it. That last Thursday night, we had really light volume trading, electronic trading, when, you know, there weren't a lot of people around. And, I think there's a battle going on between the commercials and the money management traders, who, you know, they were fighting over this 105 level in the euro. And, you know, as a key level, there were a lot of stops sitting at 105. And from what I can tell, the commercials shoved it back above 105 in that light trading, and that set off all those stocks, which spiked it all the way up to the high 106s, I think.
Right.
And then it settled back in. But they just ran a bunch of stops, and they may have recaptured the 105 level now.
It's funny because actually I was doing a live webinar at the time, and on futures, and learning how to day trade futures part-time, and I go, oh, there's my pattern. Hold on, I got to go sell some. And I actually did sell some euro up at like 106.50, just for a quick trade, because, again, that's kind of what I'm looking for in when I'm trading like that. So the VIX futures are still being bought, but not near the actual highs we saw earlier in a couple of months ago, correct?
Right. This last COT report was a little bit, you know, unusual in the fact that for the reporting week, volatility was down, and yet the commercials actually sold a little bit. I mean, they still have a very big position. It was a bit strange that they sold about 2,000 contracts out of about 85,000. So they still have a large position, and, you know, they would have benefited going into the volatility of the last, you know, three trading days.
Now, when you look at the COT report, how do you determine who the actual players are?
Well, the COT report tells you. I mean, it says there's a commercial category, and then there's the non-commercial category. Commercial category is reserved for basically banks and for producers of, like, if it's a commodity, like oil, it's reserved for oil producers. Or, you know, miners for metals, or, you know, the producers of the actual commodities. So, the report tells you commercial or non-commercial. Non-commercial is going to be your managed money traders. It's going to be, like hedge funds and that sort of thing. And then you have non-reportable positions, which are mainly big retail players.
Okay. And now, when we look at this this whole situation, so we would say the commercials are still pretty short here. Would that be a good assessment?
Sure. Yeah, they're short the Dow, the Nasdaq, and the Russell pretty heavily, and based upon the last bank participation reports, that all lines up to. We're mostly talking about banks in that commercial category.
Now, I mean, I would think that probably a good trade here might be selling the Russell futures and buying maybe even the S&P futures. I mean, if you're correct that the Russell's made it as far as you think it's going to go, that might be a good spread if you were going to do something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, that would be a good pair trade. I mean, you know, Russell looks the most bearish to me. It looks like it's already peaked. We could go back up to those highs, but I don't expect them to be exceeded by more than 1%. Whereas with the S&P, I think that could run as, you know, as much as, you know, they're 5% above its, you know, its highs a few weeks ago.
It is amazing at how we watch and see markets going, you know, obviously always farther than we expect, and sometimes, you know, not as far. But as you're looking at, you know, the overall, the big picture here, what do you see in the, like, the Euro stocks, which one of your favorites?
Euro stocks, yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's, you know, we've been short for a long time, and obviously we've been waiting, and what's happening is it continues to hit a what I call a pivot line, which projects 25% lower, and it has hit it repeatedly, which, you know, says that it's there. And right now that line is at 3,330 approximately. So we've come as close as 30 or 40 points last week, and now we're sort of in the margin of error of where that line is. So it's another good place to get short. We've added to our shorts, and you know, very soon here we expect that to play out. I don't think we're gonna be waiting a lot longer. You know, a lot of, you know, the sideways chop to higher. I don't think we're going to see much more of that. I think we're going to see, you know, the actual move very soon.
The actual move in the Euro stocks. And this is the Bubba Show version 2017 with our guy Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check him out, and make sure that you go. Now, just because it's a new year, you still got to go to LibertyTalk.fm. We're going to try to get to 1 million downloads this year, so make sure that you get there and help us out at libertytalk.fm. In the meantime, check out bubbatrading.com. We've got a new hedging class starting tomorrow and a new futures class starting next week, so check it out. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
I was proud.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show's expert chartist and technical engineer. So, Matt, you know, we've got, you know, a new year upon us, and typically we hope that New Year's bring new action and new price volatility. Because, you know, one of the biggest things I've noticed, you know, we talk about the VIX, we talk about a lot of things, but we've really seen, other than like gold last week, a real lack of price volatility and price movement. I mean, you know, we grind, but we don't really get any wild swings. Do you expect some of that to come back this year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think it will be a wild year for gold. You mentioned that. I think we're going to see, you know, probably a final bottom, you know, this year. Who knows? It could extend a lot. It could, you know, we could be waiting a long time. But I really think that, you know, these are heavily manipulated markets. I think they're getting close to the commercials. I think want to close out their shorts, and I think they want to get long both gold and silver. And I think, you know, this will be their year to do so. So I think what we're seeing in gold is interesting. I mean, the gold miners were up a lot into the end of last week, whereas the metal itself was really not up that much. It was up, 50 points, $50. So I think it's possible here that gold could be at a pivot level and it's turning back down from there. You know, the commercials are not going to be satisfied until the lows of last year are taken out. So we're looking at 1,050 as their minimum downside target. We were just talking about stops with the euro. They're going to try to do the same thing with stops and gold.
Right, and they'll blow them through, and of course that's always the case. And now, you know, oil has been obviously the big story. It was the big story of the last, the fourth quarter of 16. And of course, you know, you don't care about all this stuff, but the OPEC, the BS, and all this other crap. But what do you? I know you have a declining line in oil, and I know that you're personally bearish oil. I don't know what your position is it, but what do you think of oil here, and what's your take?
Well, we have a small short position on because we're waiting for a line at it's approximately 56.80, I think, as of today, and it's a declining line. So I think that will be our next target up, and when that's touched, I think, you know, we'll see a good sell off. I mean, right now we're just kind of, you know, chopping and, you know, drifting a little bit higher. I don't expect, you know, a whole lot more ups. I mean, you know, OPEC's done what they're going to do. Who knows? Maybe they could do more. But really, I don't, unless there's, you know, some sort of, geopolitical thing going on in the Middle East to decrease supply, I don't think oil has that much more to the upside. And the high 56 level is I think, the top.
I hope. But I don't think it'll get that high. I'm short from here, and I think that the OPEC thing is all garbage anyways. And, of course, you know, we don't need Mideast oil anymore as well. So there's a lot of reasons to believe that oil could be headed lower. But, of course, markets don't always do what they're supposed to do, and we both know that. That's why, you know, you read the chart and forget about the news. But now as we look into, you know, some of the agricultural world, we've got, you know, it looked like Friday, cattle had a little of a rough time, both fats and feeders, but I know you only watch the cash, but it was finally the first day that they seemed that they were ready to start to work their way lower. What are you seeing in the cattle markets?
Cattle is, you know, it's heavily overbought. I'm not sure if it's at a target resistance yet. I think it probably has made it. Hogs, I know, have a little bit more to the upside as far as they have a steeply declining target resistance line that they haven't reached yet. But, you know, it shouldn't be much longer. I don't see long story short, I don't see a lot more upside in either cattle or in hogs in the near term. I think both are going to roll over soon. It doesn't have to be when I say soon, I mean like this next quarter. We're not short, because we're long-term bullish, but what we're looking for is a pullback that we can buy into and get long again. And we might fall, in the case of hogs, I think we might fall all the way back down to the prior lows. Also, if you look at commercial positioning, that's become pretty darn bearish very bearish in cattle, and it's becoming more bearish in hogs.
All right, and again, and when you say a steep declining line in hogs, so right now, hogs closed, I think, at, I don't know, about 64 or something like that on Friday. And when you say a steep decline, 65.80 was the close in February, because those will roll off pretty soon. But, like, how much a day is that? Are we dropping in the resistance, and where's the resistance now?
So I don't have that in front of me, but okay. I remember going over it this weekend, and We're looking at about another 8% up to hit the line, and the line's declining by about 1 to 2% per week.
Okay, so obviously, so if the sell-off comes 2 weeks from now, it could be around 67. If it stays here, it could be down here. Okay, so that makes sense. And then of course the grains, wheat continues to kind of vacillate, but had a better week last week, and corn just kind of stays in that range, but soybeans had some interesting action, and, you know, a week ago, 10 days ago, they broke hard, and then, you know, they came back up, but they were unable to go above 1020 versus the March, which I thought was a pretty key level, and it looks like they want to go lower, and you've been calling bearish on beans for a while, and it looks like you're finally going to get your bearish call here. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, so I'm looking at that now. We're looking at, I think, about mid-800s. Mid-8s.
That's all right. 800, eight, what's the difference? We know what you mean. $8.
Yeah. In soybeans. So I think that's where we're looking for a downside target. fact, is probably, you know, we're looking for a rising target, and it's presently at about 845, 850, and it's a rising target. So I think that's where we're targeting for the short term. We'll hit there. We'll get a bounce back up. But it's not going to be, for me, it's not going to be the bear market low. It's just going to be another shorter term low.
All right. Well, 852, I think, was 2016's low. So you're probably looking for that as a one-year target, right?
Yeah, that's a very clear lateral target that would make sense. Yeah, there's obviously support down there. So I don't think it's going to be broken on this, you know, this next leg down. But I think, you know, we probably do have a bigger leg down sometime in the future.
Now, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the Mexican peso, and you were, you know, fairly bullish on that. What's your views on that now?
I'm still bullish. You know, I think it got oversold, you know, because of the, you know, the Trump campaign and so forth. I think that's, you know, coming off a little bit. If you take a look at what the commercials are doing, they're long the peso. They like the peso. They'll basically take the opposite, the other side of any trade, as long as it gets extreme enough. So yeah, I'm still bullish on the peso. I don't actually have price patterns drawn on that. So that's just what I'm looking at, actually, is the price pattern in EWW, which is the Mexico ETF. And that looks pretty much, you know, washed out to the downside.
Okay. Well, the same thing. I mean, I get that. It all makes sense. It all fits together. And are you still a big fan of the pound?
Yeah. The pound, you know, really had a tough couple of weeks with dollar strength. And, you know, it's oversold short term. It's oversold long term. Commercials are still heavily long. The price pattern still makes sense. It's just, you know, this is just a, you know, kind of a, you know, it's kind of a rough dip. But other than that, we should be going back to the upside. I'd be looking for, you know, purchasing power parities up, you know, in the 140s. I'm just looking for us to get, you know, minimum up to, say, the 129, 130 level, you know, as a minimum target to the upside. I don't think that, you know, the rally that began a few months ago is over.
Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Always great to have in the show. Thank you so much.
It's always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day so you can hear guys like Matt Demeter talking about what's going on in the world. Make sure you go to bubbatrading.com, and this will do it for today's edition of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. Wake up, Maggie.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk Event.